Welcome to the Equipers Church Budapest podcast. We hope today's message will encourage and inspire you. For more information, check equiperschurch.hu.
It's wonderful to be here. You guys doing okay? You ready for the word?
Yes.
I hope so, because you're going to get it anyway. Turn with me to Mark chapter 2. And whilst you're getting there, we've just been in Zlaty Moravce in Slovakia, preaching at the Bible school we're running there over the weekend. We had an incredible time this morning. And yeah, man, that congregation went wild in the middle of my preaching, man. We never even got to an altar call. God's word was breaking people and setting them free. And so you want to dance and sing and shout tonight because something's happening. That's okay. I'm used to that now from this morning. No, we had an incredible time there. And I have a completely different message tonight. So it's not the same. So don't worry about that. But it's what I feel God wants for us tonight. So get yourselves ready. Mark chapter 2. We're going to read from verse 1 to 12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he'd come home. So many gathered there that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. We're going to have a look at that one in a moment. Some men came bringing him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus. And after digging through it, they lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But that you might know the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and go home." Immediately he got up. He took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Oh, this is, fasten your seatbelts, this is going to be good. How many of you want to be in a meeting with Jesus where you walk out saying, "I've never seen anything like that before"? Oh, come on, come on. Well, these saw it. These were right in the middle of it. It was a crazy time. Now, Pastor Miro's asked me to talk a little bit about relationships, so I'm going to try and do that. It's going to be in there somewhere for the more discerning of you. No. Now, there is a lot of relational dynamics going on in this episode, in this event. Sometimes we read our Bibles and just, we read it like a story and that's it. No, man, this happened. This was real. I've been to the house in Capernaum where this happened. It's still there. Peter's house. It's still there to this very day. I also went to the synagogue. I jumped over the fence and held up a Welsh flag and took a picture, and I had three policemen chase me out of there. But that's another story. It's incredible that Capernaum's still there in Israel on the shores of Galilee. Peter's house. And when you look at it, it's quite a broad street. And so you just get the picture of when you stood there, what's happening here, this scene. The place is packed like a Eurovision Song Contest. Man, it is heaving with all kinds of people. There for many different reasons. There with many different relationships. You had people that were friends of the family. They were there. You had people that were the family, Peter's house, his wife and family and so on. They were there. You had people who were religious. They were there to make sure Jesus would behave himself. You had another group of people that were there to hopefully Jesus wouldn't behave himself and upset them all. Man, there were many people there for many people, many different reasons. Some, most would have known each other. Others would have come from other villages and towns around, because wherever Jesus turned up, something special always happened. And wherever Jesus went, the people followed him because something spectacular and amazing like this, we've never seen anything like this. Something always happened. And so you had all these different people there for different reasons, different relationships, different expectations. Some were expecting glory. Some were expecting miracles. Some were expecting trouble. They were all there. Man, I can imagine them, you know, if they had them getting their mobile phones out, you know, everything's being videoed and put up on Facebook and YouTube and Instagram. And man, it was a party. It's packed out. The house is full. The streets are full. All wanted to see what this guy's going to do. And this is crazy, okay? Because he says, when Jesus saw how many people were gathered, he preached the word. Now, I don't know about that, man. I love preaching the word. I'm an okay preacher, you know. I can preach the word. And Pastor Miro, Dr. Guru Dalai Lama here, man, he's an excellent preacher. But this is the word, preaching the word. Man, how narcissistic can you get? Think about it. Come on. Jesus is preaching about himself. The word preaches the word. Man, I don't know about you, but I'm downloading that YouTube video when I get to heaven, because that sermon. What must it be like when Jesus preaches the word? All we know is that it was always spectacular. Even the most learned theologians were amazed. Where did he get that authority from? Where did he get that revelation from? Where did he get that knowledge from? Because at this moment, they didn't understand. Man, this is God in the flesh. The word become flesh. The word preaching the word. It must have been a spectacular sermon. And everybody from every background with all different kinds of social relationships, they're all going to see this one thing. You know, when groups of people gather together like that, it's because there's an attraction. You don't go to a concert because you hate the singer and really dislike the genre of music. You don't do that. These are all there because they're expecting something to happen. And you know what? It's a great mirror of what our lives should be, because whenever we come to God's house and he's sure, do you expect something to happen? Are you expecting if Jesus is in the house, he's going to upset somebody? He's going to bless somebody. He's going to set somebody free. He's going to cause some family feud. He's going to heal some family. Man, the relationships and the dynamics that was going on here were horrendous and great. As you get with any kind of large building of people. And as Jesus is preaching, you don't do this, okay? The word in the flesh is preaching the word and someone interrupts him. Now, I've been in meetings, especially I was an evangelist for many years. I've been heckled on the street and in church. Talking a lot of rubbish. Get off the stage. Shut up. You don't heckle God when he's speaking. Well, they didn't quite heckle him, but as he's speaking and preaching the word, bits of plaster and dust and rock start falling from the ceiling. Suddenly, boom, sunlight shines. Like a boom, big halo across Jesus, you know, like a big beam of light. Think, oh, God's breaking through. No, it's the flipping paralytic from down the road. What's going on? These guys, they can't push through, they can't get through to Jesus, so they dig a hole in the roof. Now, you've got to understand some of the, another relational dynamic here. It's Peter's house. Peter has a little bit of a reputation. He's a bit of a crazy man. He's a bit of a bang, aim, who is it? He shoots first and asks questions later. He's spontaneous. He's irreligious. He's unpredictable. He's dangerous. The guy's a fisherman, yet somehow, when Jesus is arrested, he has a sword. Where did he get a sword from? And boom, he cuts a guy's ear off. Now listen, you've either got to be very skilled or very lucky to cut a person's ear off. Because a centimeter either side, you either miss him and smash him in the shoulder, or that's the end of it. He cuts his ear off without even thinking. Jesus is like, what are you thinking, Peter? Stop it. And he sticks his ear on with some super glue. And it's incredible, man. You don't dig a hole in Peter's house. You're asking for trouble. He's going to kill you. Now, the Bible doesn't quite say it here, but I'm the preacher, so I could see Jesus looking at Peter. Peter, calm down. Calm down. Calm down. You're digging a hole in my roof. And these four guys lower this man down that everybody knows. You know, in a small town like Capernaum, in many small towns all across the world, most people know each other. They all grew up together. You know moms and dads and aunties and uncles and grandfathers and grandmothers. Man, the relationships are so intertwined. Some families don't like those families. Others do like those. You know what it's like. But everybody knows everybody's business. Everybody would have known who this man was. Because they'd have seen him go into the marketplace every day, begging on the side of the road. For years, this man, they knew, can't walk. And here he is, flying through the roof, man, what's going on? Oh, yeah, there's an incredible relationship going on here because he has four friends that do all this for him. That's real friendship. Did you know that? They risk the wrath of Peter. They risk the wrath of God interrupting him in the middle of preaching the word. But they love this guy. They must have loved this guy to be so determined to get him to Jesus. No one can help him. This guy has no hope. He's been begging for as long as he's been a cripple. We don't know how long. But in that generation, in that society, there was no social help. There was no council or town council to come and give him a wheelchair or push him to help him. Man, he's on a mat. Imagine lead on that mat all day long begging. Have you ever thought about that? Where do you go to toilet? We know in Roman society and in those days, there were public toilets, but this guy can't walk. Man, he's on that mat all day. Let me tell you, the Bible mentions this mat again and again and again. It's great significance. I'll finish with that point. But this mat must have been stinky, sweaty, and smelly. There was no place to have a wee-wee. There was no place to go to reveal himself. He's stuck there. He's a cripple. He cannot walk. It's hot and dusty and sweaty and a bit like today. It's a real hot day in those days. In that place, he had no social help except these four friends. Man, I can't believe the Bible doesn't mention who they are. What a great example of friendship that was. That even in his desperate, see, those friends would never be rewarded back, would never get anything back. This guy can't work. He can't come round and fix their donkey's shoe. Or their horse, or put a wheel on their cart, or help them plow their ground, or fix their window. Or man, they will get nothing back from him, yet they are risking everything. What a great relationship that is. You know what? If you want good friends, become one. Be one. Be a good friend to someone. Help someone that can never give you anything back, no reward. That's a good friend. But these guys, they break through this house, this roof. They lower Jesus, this guy down before Jesus. Man, it was a risky business. But then we see this, and I see this incredible thing about relationships all through the New Testament, all through especially the Gospels. You know, whenever Jesus heals someone, whenever he interferes or helps someone in their lives, there's a common thread through it all. It always starts with the person's gender and problem. This was the man who was a paralytic. Or it's the man who was born blind. Or the woman with an issue of blood. Or the boy with a demonic problem. The man with a withered hand. And so on and so on and so on. Man, you read this kind of description all through the Gospels. What is that? Why don't we get to know them? Why don't we get to know their names? What's the relationship? What's the meaning of that? When really what we see here is an incredible way we relate to each other. Because we do the same today, don't we? Well, I do anyway. We put labels on people, good or bad. See, all my friends, they all have nicknames. You know what a nickname is? Well, my best mate, Budgie. He's called Budgie because one day we were unsaved, so no stoning, please. We all got high on magic mushrooms at the rugby club, climbed up on the roof of the changing rooms, and Budgie ate more than most of us. He was so high, he thought he could fly, so he jumped off the roof, fell and broke both his legs. We thought it was hysterical. So from that moment on, he's Budgie, the boy who thought he could fly. And then there's Di Salmon. He was called Salmon because nearby where we lived, there was a lake, and we were all out in the middle of the lake one day, all us lads, about 10 of us on a two-man little dinghy. Don't ask me how we did that. And one of them pushes Dave in, Di Salmon, and he almost drowns because he can't swim. So he was, from that moment on, called Di Salmon. And then there's Beefy. Beefy was Beefy because if you did that, you couldn't see him anymore. He was so skinny. He was so thin. Beefy in English means me, you know, you're muscly, athletic, handsome, chunky, fat. But we label people, don't we? How, so we can remember them easier, we can remember them better. And it's the same here. It's the man who's a paralytic. And that's funny because even in our familial relationships, you know, we have those kinds of labels we put on people. And some of them are funny. Some of them are just friendly, but others can be really bad. My head teacher called me the boy who was a rebel. I was, but that's, oi, boy, rebel, come here. My name is Wayne. Yeah, whatever. Other people, that girl with an attitude. That lad that has serious issues mentally. That young girl, man, has an eating disorder. Man, we put labels on people out of, with good or bad intentions. And it's incredible sometimes how we could put, even our family members put labels on us that are based on a 15-minute mistake 20 years ago, and 20 years later, you're still. You know what my family used to call me? Wayne the Pain. I said, you got it, you missed a letter out. It's with a B. Wayne the Brain, not Wayne the Pain. Why did you call me Wayne the Pain? Because that's what I caused everywhere I went. I was the boy who caused pain. I was the lad who's a rebel. I was the boy with an attitude towards authority. And some things in our past can slap a label on our head that can stay with us all our lives. I wonder, all of us here tonight, what labels do you carry? I know we're from all over the world. What in the past has slapped a label on your head? What are you known for? What relationships do you have that has put a label on you that maybe one day it was true, But it's not anymore. But you can't shake it off. You can't get rid of it. And it's incredible how cruel people can be in our relationships. But this guy meets Jesus. And the first thing Jesus does is take the label off his head. He's no longer the man who's a paralytic. He's not a paralytic anymore. What are we going to call him? The man who was a paralytic that now walks. That don't make sense. Now what are we going to call him? The man who's a paralytic, lived on a stinky mat, but now walks and carries his mat everywhere with him, stinking like a cesspool. No, what do we do? He meets Jesus, and Jesus changes everything. Every relationship this man had and now has is different. He can work. He can walk. He can dance. He can run. He's never the same. And that's what happens when you come before Jesus. He takes the labels that people have put on us. He takes off the labels that life has put on us. He takes off the labels that you have put on yourself. Or even spiritual lies from our enemy. You're worthless. You're useless. You can never do anything. No one will ever love you. No one will ever like you. You're the person that no one likes. Man, and Jesus rips those labels off us. He's not a paralytic anymore. But no, we see something else in this. Or I see something else in this I want to bring out. It's incredible. He's a paralytic that's in the presence of Jesus. Now, this is weird because we know from reading up to here, Jesus healed everybody everywhere he went. And his purpose wasn't to come and heal this man. He's there to preach. In fact, he was there to rest at Peter's house. But everybody knew he was there, so boom, everybody come running in. Let's see what's going to happen. They're there for all kinds of different reasons, expecting some spectacular good thing or spectacularly bad trouble thing with the religious people. And man, everything's going on. And it's so true sometimes, you know, that within our relationships, we wear masks. You know what I'm talking about. How are you doing? I'm great. I'm doing fine. I'm doing good. Everything's blessed. Everything's lovely. I'm good. Thanks. How are you? And sometimes inside, no, you're not. Sometimes inside, there's a paralysis. There's a handicap. There's something that's taken your legs from under you. And we try to put a brave face on. We try to see, you know, Facebook and social media is disgusting for this. Mirror, mirror on Facebook, tell me how my life should look. Anybody did that one? Mirror, mirror on Instagram, tell me who I really am. No, it's all false. And we have this thing called an echo chamber growing in our society today when it comes to relationships. Have you noticed, you know, you only get things that you like on social media. I wish they had a don't like button. Give me more things I don't like. No. Like, and suddenly you get more. I like electric cars, boom, 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 and suddenly you get a million adverts about electric cars. I like donuts, boom, 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 boom. Oh, you get a million adverts. And what it's doing, we're building into ourselves this bubble where we're only exposed to what we agree with and what we like. And it cuts off any other relationship. And everybody or half of the people on there are lying anyway. They're not doing so good. How are you doing? I contacted a friend from school I haven't heard on in 30 years. 40 years. 45 years. How are you doing? Oh, I'm doing great, blah, blah, blah. I'm a teacher. But last time I was in Wales, I talked to another old friend telling me how really his life sucks. His wife's just committed adultery. She's run off with another man. His kids hate him. He's about to lose his job. His whole life. And yet on Facebook, he said, I'm doing great. What's going on? We're training ourselves not to be real anymore. Only to be with that which we agree with or what we like. And even in church, it's horrible. You know, someone has a different opinion of an open theological thought. That's it. Don't talk to them. Don't bother with them. Jesus is coming before the tribulation. No, he's coming after. And we cut them out. Don't like. This guy we see doesn't just have a paralysis in his body. He has a paralysis in his soul. How do you know that, Wayne? Well, thanks for asking. I'll tell you. Because when Jesus sees him coming and lowered down on the carpet in front of him, Jesus doesn't say, "Get up and walk. Your legs are healed." Jesus didn't say that. What did he say? When he saw the faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." What's that all about? Are you blind, Jesus? Can't you see? That's not what he's here for. He's here because he can't walk. He's paralyzed in his legs. Come on, Jesus. I mean, you can imagine the chattering and the talk and the giggling and the in the crowd that's going on. All these different groups there for different reasons wanted to see different things. And Jesus really sparks it off with the religious people. I can imagine all the other guys that were there just to see Jesus upset the religious people again, going, "Yes, yes, yes. Now it's on like Donkey Kong. We're going to see a big argument. Man, these guys are going to try and crucify him. Man, he's going to come and zap them with lightning bolts. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be like watching Star Wars again." No, well, they wouldn't have known about Star Wars, but you can imagine this dynamic that's at work in this group. Jesus says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." What's that all about? Jesus wasn't blind to his physical need. In fact, Jesus saw more than any of us see. He saw straight into his soul. And he saw he didn't just have a paralysis in his body, he had a paralysis in his heart that was called sin. There was something inside him that was crippling him from real life, that was separate from his legs. Jesus could see the legs wasn't the biggest problem that he had. It was the fruit of some of his problem, but it wasn't the root of his problem. And the first thing Jesus does when we come before him, man, he cuts straight to the reality of things. There's no false likes in heaven. There's no echo chamber in heaven. There's no little bubble where we be in our holy huddles. "I want to be with these people because I don't like those people. I'm being with the Pentecostals because those Baptists, man, they're freaky and weird." There's none of that going on. Jesus looks straight into his soul and he sees the paralysis that was there. So how are you doing tonight? How are you doing? I'm doing great, Wayne. Well, that's great. I'm glad. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord together. But not all of us will be feeling that way tonight. Some of us are carrying paralysis in our hearts, in our souls. You're carrying a heaviness maybe because of a relationship back home or some bad news or... friends, Jesus knows it all. And there's this one thing that Jesus does. Now, when I got saved, when Jesus spoke into my soul, I cried like a baby. I was a big, tough guy, rugby player, involved in a lot of violent crime. But in the middle of that field, I cried. It was such a beautiful, deeply changing on the inside experience that I was never the same again. Jesus touched my soul. And it was amazing. I cried. I'm glad no one else was there because they'd have sent me to a funny farm.
It was incredible.
Now, I know this guy stood in front of Jesus, and Jesus says, "You're forgiven." When he speaks, something happens. When Jesus speaks, something is always created. He said, "Let there be light." Boom, there was light. Wind and waves, shut up. Boom, and they went still. Fig tree, die. And it died. "Are you Jesus?" "I am." Boom, and they all went flying backwards. He didn't just speak conversationally. He spoke creationally. That man was born again. That man was renewed from the inside out. He dealt with that paralysis that was in his heart, that was not evident to anybody else. And you could be carrying something that you were hiding, but God knows. And he could deal with it tonight. He could set you free from that burden, that guilt, that weight, that heaviness, that darkness, those chains, whatever it is. Oh, and that set off the religious people right there. Who does he think he is? Only God can forgive sins. Well, you got that one right at least, because that's exactly who he is. So that you might know that I can, don't just heal, I can forgive. Man, there's something incredible going on here. See, sometimes when Jesus doesn't answer your prayer the way you want to, it can cause disappointment in your life, which is the same in any relationship. People let us down. They don't act as we thought they would. They don't say or back us up the way we thought or would have expected they do. We all disappoint each other. And it seems at first that Jesus disappoints everybody because he doesn't heal what was obvious. He does something else that no one else knows about, that no one else but him can see. But that's because only he can see it all. And sometimes God doesn't answer the prayers that we ask for at times because he's up to something different. He's doing something else. He's not dealing with fruit. He wants to deal with roots, because if he deals with the fruit will produce itself. And sometimes, especially in this situation, he didn't heal him his legs at first because he wanted to give him a different revelation of who he is to everybody. See, everybody's there to see something, to hear something. Up to this point, they know he's a healer. But Jesus doesn't heal him. He speaks into his soul. "Son, your sins are forgiven." That man is changed. It doesn't say it, but we know it. Because those of us that are Christians that know, when we get touched by the Lord, we get changed. The paralysis is healed. The freedom on the inside is real. And it's mighty. But so that you might know, look guys, I'm not just a healer. I'm your savior. I don't just heal sickness. I heal the greatest sickness of all. I heal your sin. Son, your sins are forgiven. Wow. He is like, buy one, get one free. He got two for one. He didn't just get his paralysis on the inside. Suddenly then he gets his healing. Get up, take your mat, and walk. You know, some of us be carrying some disappointments here tonight. Disappointments in people, maybe even a disappointment with God. He hasn't quite answered your prayer the way he wants to. He's not deaf, he's not blind. What he does know, he knows exactly what you need. That man did not need healing in his legs. He needed healing in his soul. And Jesus did the unexpected. But, and this is the great thing about Jesus,
But that you might know something extra about me. Here's a new revelation. That you might know I can forgive sins. That this man is born again. This man is different forever now. On the inside. Get up and walk. Boom, and the guy gets up. The guy gets up in front of it. Can you imagine the crowd? Some will be like, oh yeah, Jesus! He's in the house! Woo, woo, woo! They would have got excited, the Jesusites. All those that just wanted to put them over on the religious people, yeah, have it. Have it, Pharisees. Have it, Sadducees. Have it, religious leaders. He's the Messiah. You are nobody. Oh, he would have caused a war. But there was all these different people in different relationships there for different, all the people that just wanted to see something spectacular. Yes, I knew he'd do something weird and wonderful. Look at this guy. We know he could never walk, and now he's walking around. Son, your sins are forgiven. There's one other thing I want to challenge with us tonight. Why did Jesus ask him to get up and take his mat? Well, at first I thought, well, anybody, one of us would have, because that stinky, smelly mat in a tightly packed house, who wants that smell? But then I thought, no, that wouldn't have been it. We don't know what pattern was on that mat. We don't know what design, what weave, but you know what? People would have recognized the mat. Maybe not recognized the man, because one of the great things that God does, when he changes us from the inside out, our reflection can change. We're not twisted, we're not bitter, we're not in agony, we're not in pain. Man, we're filled with joy. He changes everything about us. And maybe someone might not have recognized, but they'd have recognized the mat. Jesus told him to take the mat with him because the mat was his testimony. I was that man. This is my mat. Yes, smell. It's my mat. He's real. He did this for me. This is the mat I led on for 20 years, whatever it was. This is the mat I begged from. Man, it was his preaching tool. It was his testimony. It was God did this for me. And every one of us that have experienced this has a mat. It may not be a physical mat, but you have a testimony. I was blind, but now I see. I was the boy who was a rebel, but now I serve Jesus in full submission with all my heart. My head teacher asked me to come back to school after I got saved, because I'd left school at that time. And he goes, I've never seen anything like this. Even your voice is different. You look different. You're talking differently. There's just, what is it that you have, man? That is incredible. Come back to our school and tell all the teenagers, because if you can get the same in them that's gone in you, it'll make our job much better. That's what he said to me. I had a testimony. I had a mat I take with me everywhere I go. I was that, but I'm now this. And that is the story of the good news of the gospel, friends. It doesn't matter what you've come in with tonight. You can go out carrying it. You can go out victorious with it. I was this, but now I'm that. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and pray for a moment. Lord, you are so incredible. What you did then, you are still doing with people all over the world now today. Ah, Jesus. I don't know what label you're carrying tonight, but let me tell you, let Jesus come. Give it to him. He'll tear it off and he'll put a new one on your head. I've always said, if I ever get a tattoo, and I don't, but I won't, but if I did, it would be on my forehead, right here, my ball patch. Property of the Most High God. Or on the bottom of my foot, you know, like Toy Story, but who's my owner? I belong to the Lord. I'm not that person anymore. I am something complete. I'm a child of God. I have a label on my head that will last for eternity. And God can change that in you tonight. Or maybe you're here and you're carrying a paralysis. You look like you're fine on the outside, but there's something not working on the inside. Jesus can change that tonight. Or maybe you have a disappointment. You're disappointed in your relationships with someone. Or you're disappointed even with God. They didn't do, they didn't say, they didn't act like they should have. Bring it to Jesus tonight. He'll show you something different. He'll show you a new revelation of who He is and what He's doing in your life. And you'll walk out of here with a mat. You'll walk out of here with a testimony. I had that. I was that. I struggled with that. But now I'm free. Oh, Jesus, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, God, that Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, we thank You for our brothers and sisters tonight that are going to go through the waters to declare to the world and to the heavenly realms, I belong to Jesus. I was a cripple, but now I'm running and dancing. I was blind, but now I see. I pray, Lord, tonight, let there be every single one of our testimonies. Every single one of our mats that was dirty and stinky but has gone through the power of God. And it testifies to Your love and Your goodness. We have a team that would love to pray with you if you have any of these issues tonight. We're going to sing and close and they're going to do their stuff, dance and as we do that, look for the people in the blue shirts or come to me here at the front. I would love to pray with you, especially if you're here, you don't know Jesus yet. Man, everything will change. Hallelujah.